Well, greetings and Merry Christmas, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If you have something you'd like to talk about, a question you'd like to pose, give us a call right now. The toll-free number is 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to take a look today at the story of the visit of the wise men after Jesus was born. Matthew records it in the second chapter of his gospel. It's a very interesting story, and it really, I think, shines some light on kind of the political scene back then, some of the stuff that was going on as far as Herod was concerned. It's just a very, very interesting story. It just adds a sense of intrigue and mystery to this event, as if that wasn't already there with the birth of Christ. But this is from the human side of it. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews?" So they knew something. They knew something about this baby. They knew that he was born to be the king of the Jews. "Now, for we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." Well, that's interesting that they would come to worship this baby, knowing really nothing about him other than the fact that there was a star and that this babe was born to be king of the Jews. "Now, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled." That's interesting, isn't it? Yeah. When he heard this, but why? Because he was the king of the Jews. He wore the crown. He sat in the throne chair. That was his position. That was his place. And now there's this babe that's been born to replace him, to move him out of his seat and to take over and rule over Israel. How could this be? Herod had not heard of such a thing, so it troubled him. And here it's interesting, it says, "And all Jerusalem with him." All of Jerusalem was troubled by this news. "And so, in assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born." That's interesting as well. They all knew that this babe was going to be born, a Messiah was coming, and would be in their midst at some point. They all knew that. They were all waiting for it. And so Herod is thinking, well, maybe this is the fulfillment of all of those prophecies of old. So he gathers all the scribes together and says, well, what's going on here? Where is this babe supposed to be born? And so they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Now that's from the prophet Micah. It's recorded in Micah chapter 5, verse 2. So they had information that Bethlehem was the place. "So Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him.'" Now, Herod had no intention of worshiping the baby Jesus. That wasn't in his heart whatsoever. So here was a guy that was playing a political game. He was trying to get information, extract information out of these wise men. And then once he got that information, then he was going to protect his throne. He was going to protect his position. And he tried to do that by killing off all the babies in that area. And he felt like if he killed them all, that he would get the one who was born to be king of the Jews. "So after listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy, and going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. And then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh, and being warned in a dream not to return to Herod. They departed to their own country by another way. So they followed the star. The star rested over the place where Jesus was. Mm-hmm. When they arrived there, they entered into the house. So it wasn't, at this particular point in time, they weren't in the stable where baby Jesus had been born. You know, they didn't gather around the manger like our nativity scene suggests. They went into a house where they were staying. Now, we don't have a lot of detail on how they found this house. Did they look up on our Airbnb and find it as a rental? Or, you know, we don't have any details about that other than the fact that they were staying in a house. And when the wise men arrived there, they went in, they saw Jesus, and they did what only anyone would do when you encounter the Lord Jesus. You bow down and worship. That's exactly what they did. Why? Because Jesus is the only one worthy of worship. And so it's a scene that happened in real life that foreshadows what's going to happen, you know, when we're all in God's presence and Jesus is in the middle of us. We're all going to bow down and worship him. We see that scene in Revelation, don't we, Richard?
Yeah, we do. Everybody, lost, saved, everybody will bow down and say, this is the rightful king.
Yes.
Jesus is the one.
Yeah, every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so they worshiped him, and then they opened up their treasures. And I love that. They opened up their treasures, and they gave him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, special items just in honor of the king. And then they departed, and having received word in a dream, they didn't go back to Herod as Herod had asked them to. And they were very wise. They were very wise indeed. So then Mary and Joseph and Jesus fled from that place, from Bethlehem. They went down to Egypt. They stayed there for a period of time. In the meantime, Herod gathered up armies, and he sent those armies to Bethlehem, and he had all of the babies of that day, or during that time, up to 2 years old, male babies, murdered. And just the ruthless, evil heart that was in that particular man, despicable, just all throughout his reign as king of the Jews. But he was ticked off because the rightful king had been born, named Jesus of Nazareth.
Yeah. It's the Christmas story of old, and to me, guys, I don't know how it is to you. I think I do, but it never gets old in the hearing.
No, it doesn't get old. I want to hear the story over and over and over and over. And I was thinking the other day, you know, when I was a kid, I used to eat hamburgers, and I just liked the meat and the bun, you know, just plain and simple. And then as you kind of grow up, you start adding stuff to it, and, you know, it gets taller and thicker and harder to eat and all of that stuff. And now I just have gone back to, I just want the burger and the bun.
Yeah.
Just give me the plain and simple. And it's the same when I go to a church service. I don't want all of the complicated theological gobbledygook. Just tell me the story of Jesus.
Yeah.
Just talk to me about Jesus. Just give me Jesus straight up, undiluted.
Yeah.
That's it. Why? Because he's the only thing that my soul really longs for. And if you're honest with yourself, all of the things of the world, all of the religious things that are out there, they're just empty. They're just hollow. If you're really honest with yourself, all you want is Jesus. All you need is Jesus. Because once you know him for who he is, your heart just rejoices. You're just so content because you know Christ.
Absolutely.
So just give me Jesus, and that's what this story is all about. It's just simply Jesus from start to finish.
And friends, if you're as excited about the story as we are, we'd love to hear from you, love to share this program with you. Give us a call, 844-322-2742. And Bob and Richard, we're only two weeks less than 2 weeks away from the deadline for the 2017 tax implications with the IRS, of course, for giving. And we have been so excited to see what our listeners have done throughout the year. And but we still, as we approach the end of the year, we still have a way to go before the 31st.
Well, we do. We have about $75,000 left to raise to meet our budget. And that's going to put a little money in the bank and enable us to extend the borders of Basic Gospel Nation next year. And we're excited about that. So it's been great momentum this whole year. Folks have been generous from January all the way through now. Let's keep that momentum going. Let's hit this target. Let's raise this final $75,000. And quite frankly, like I said yesterday, I would love for us to shatter
that mark.
You know, let's go ahead and raise $100,000.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and raise $150,000. Just whatever the Lord works in your heart to do.
Yeah.
But this is a story worth telling. We want to tell it as often as we can to as many people as we can, because we know, just as I was saying a minute ago, that the deepest longing in a human heart is to know Jesus.
Yes, indeed.
And so let's gather together as a group of people and give people Jesus.
Yeah.
And your generosity right now, between now and December 31st, will be greatly appreciated.
Without question. Friends, go on, online to basicgospel.net to make your gift. Again, basicgospel.net. You can also call 844-322-2742. That's available anytime, 844-322-2742. You can send your donation to Basic Gospel by regular mail, and you can address us at 751 Hebron Parkway, and that's Suite 310 in Lewisville, Texas. The zip is 75057. Again, that's 751 Hebron Parkway, Suite 310, Lewisville, Texas, 75057. You can also use PayPal or the Basic Gospel app. Any way you give is a great way to join us as a partner in this this ministry that we call Basic Gospel. And it's pretty good stuff, guys.
Yes, it is.
Well, we had a call that came in during our off-hour system. This is from Peggy. Let's hear that call right now.
Hey, Bob. My name is Peggy, and I'm calling in reference for you talking about what the girl called in about Israel. You know, I've always heard that when Israel came a nation in 1948, that talks about where this generation shall not pass until the Lord comes. Can you please tell me how long is the generation? How many years is it? And or is that true? Thank you.
Well, thank you, Peggy. Thanks for posing that question on the broadcast. We certainly appreciate it. And I think, Richard, the verse she's referencing is Matthew 24:34. Truly, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. And so that's been one of the great theological debates. How long is a generation? And was he specifically talking about the generation of the day? Back in Jesus's time, was he talking about a future generation? There's been a lot of twisting and manipulating of this word that we translate generation. Could it be race of people, speaking specifically about the Jewish people? There are some folks that would invest that meaning into the word. So what in the world does this mean, and how long is it? Is there a specific length of time that constitutes a generation as far as the Word of God is concerned? And if so, can we use that number to calculate dates and times for certain prophetic events? That's the real question, isn't it?
That's the real question. And the real answer is no.
Okay, thanks, Peggy. Thanks for
calling.
Because if you look at the Bible history, what was a generation from Adam through the flood? A long time.
A long time, okay. Yes,
and
indeed.
From the flood onward, it kept getting shorter and shorter and shorter. Even today, you look at generations within various families, and some families have generations every 18 to 20 years, and some 30 years or more. It varies all over the map, and it was the same for the Bible people at that time, and you don't dare start calculating. You know, how many places to the right of the decimal point are we supposed to be accurate? And you can't be, which is one of the reasons why a lot of people, like you said, will say, well, what Jesus is talking about is that this race of people, Jews will exist, Israel will exist all the way through the end. And whether you accept that or not, he's not giving this information for estimation purposes. He's giving the information, especially here in Matthew 24, regarding the coming fall of Jerusalem and all of that.
Yeah, that
and,
was that.
And so,
yeah, Jesus was talking about events that were going to happen in a very short period of time. And they did. Nations surrounded Jerusalem. They tore it down. They tore down the temple. Yeah. All of that happened within that generation. So they witnessed it. They saw it. Many ran for their lives. Others were killed in that.
Yes.
But that was what Jesus was talking about. And so that did come to pass for that generation, right?
Yes, it
right
did.
Then and there. I know when Israel was formed as a nation in 1948, there's a magical number of 40 that a lot of people will say that's how long a generation is. So they started using that number to calculate the return of Christ. Mm-hmm. So Israel as a nation in 1948, 1988 should be the time. And so there was that book that was written, 88 Reasons for the Rapture to Happen in 1988. It didn't happen, and then another book came out in 89. And, folks, we just cannot do that.
Yeah.
We cannot look and say, here's what a generation is, and so we're going to use this number to calculate. You know, for example, there's a passage in Genesis that talks about 400 years constituting four generations. Well, if you do the math, that means a generation is 100 years. Well, there's others that it's 30. There's others that's 60. There's, you know, there is that 40-year period. So it's all over the map. So we have to let what I think the context of these passages really teach us what is actually being said here.
Yeah.
And we don't need to try to speculate beyond what's written in the pages.
I have heard in times past of some people saying that if they had the courage of their convictions about the rapture, they would go out and charge up their credit cards. Well, besides that being dishonest to begin with, they're going to end up with a lot of bills, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Why would you do something that is opposed to, the Word of God? Why would you go and do something in light of the rapture coming? That's the craziest thing in the world.
Truly.
If you really know that Jesus is coming back, then that hope is going to shape how you live today.
Yes.
As it talks about in 1 John chapter 3, when he comes, we're going to be like him, and whoever has this hope in him purifies himself. What does that mean? It's you start living as if Jesus is coming back today. And with excitement, a passion to share the good news with people out there, and to show that this way of faith, this way of grace is different. It's something that is so much better than what the world has to offer. And you make that known out there.
Yeah.
The hope of the gospel does something for us here and now.
Absolutely.
So anyone that says, hey,
charge up my
cards. is not really understanding this good news, right?
Yeah, I'd be willing to charge up that person's card.
Yeah, can we use your card? All right. It's 844-322-2742. We have time on the clock. We'd love to hear from you. 844-322-2742. Another call that came in off hours. Let's listen to that right now.
Well, I was wondering about the December 25th, or about that time of the year, as the birth of Christ, and I watched a documentary called The Star of Bethlehem, or Bethlehem Star, and it seemed like I got it pretty close, so make a comment. Just happened to catch your broadcast by accident, so just curious. Thank you. Bye.
Well, so is December 25th the day, or can we discern that? Can we know for sure? Does Scripture give us enough information to calculate that date?
Not the exact date.
Yeah.
There is enough information based in Scripture and in the history of the area. You know, like it mentions Quirinius was the governor. Well, we know when that was, but we don't know the exact day. We can get approximately somewhere between 4 and 6 BC, but that's about the extent of it.
Yeah, that's the year.
Yeah.
But as
but
far as the
date. Down to month and day.
Yeah, yeah. So we want to. It's so interesting. You know, we want to prove our traditions. You know, we've said December 25th, so we want somehow, some way to prove that that's right. There's the Garden Tomb in Israel, and you know, is that the place where Jesus was crucified and buried? Well, if you go today, the tour guides at that place would have you believe it. That they will make a case that this was the exact spot. Well, tradition says it's at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, and more information is coming out that would suggest that that probably is the real site. But we don't know. We don't know. So we just have to realize that Jesus was born. He was born somewhere between 6 and 4 B.C. during a specific time in history, and he was born in Bethlehem. What date? What was the day? We don't know. It doesn't say December 25th in Scripture, so let's just leave it at that. Mm-hmm. Let's just rejoice in the fact that he was born, to die so that we could experience life.
Yeah.
That's the story of Jesus. And so, you know, you think, okay, I'm going to prove this theory. And so instead of talking about Jesus, you talk about your date. Here's why December 25th is the date. And I'm going to prove it to you. And here's why this is the place. And I'm going to prove it to you. And you get so caught up in proving the date or the place that you miss the story.
Yes.
And the Bible does not want you to miss the story. So that's why it just simply focuses on Jesus and Jesus alone. Here are some of the details of it that we can get a feel and a sense that this is a real story. This isn't made up. This actually happened. There was a historical setting, a historical context. There are real people, Herod, Caesar, Quirinius, all of these folks are written about in other documents. And so the information can be corroborated, and we can really look at the evidence and say, yes, this happened. It happened. And because it happened, we can be saved from our sins, and we can walk in the newness of life through faith in the risen Lord.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bob, for those thoughts, and Richard as well. And friends, as we've said so many times, Basic Gospel is a listener-supported ministry. Without the prayers and financial support of you, our listeners, we wouldn't be here with this good news every day. But because you were faithful, we are here. And we've been excited to see God work through so many of you to keep the message of His love, grace, and life in Jesus Christ on the air. Now, we entered December with a need of $157,000, and that has now been reduced to about $75,000 at this particular point. So we still have a way to go in these final days of the month. So we ask you and everyone listening to chip in, or maybe just chunk in. Your gift of $50, $100, or $500 or more, any amount, in fact, will help meet this year-end need. So please step up one more time, friends, and let's shatter that $75,000 need and take the message of God's love to new listeners who need to hear, as you have, that Jesus loves them. So please go behind the curtain at our website, and of course that's the link to our book called When God Tore the Curtain, and you'll get a free copy of that when you make your donation this month. Make that donation at basicgospel.net, and you can also call and make your birthday gift to Jesus through Basic Gospel. The number is 844-322-2742. That, of course, available anytime, 24 hours a day, 844-322-2742. You can send your donation to Basic Gospel by regular mail at 751 Hebron Parkway. That's H-E-B-R-O-N, Hebron Parkway, Suite 310, Louisville, Texas, 75057. Again, that's 751 Hebron Parkway, Suite 310, Louisville, Texas, 75057. You can also use PayPal or the Basic Gospel app. And as you do, we'll send you a copy of our book, When God Tore the Curtain. So do that right now, friends, if you can. Well, thanks for joining us for this edition of Basic Gospel, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, and all the ministry team, Bob Davis saying God bless you. We'll be back the same time tomorrow. I hope you'll join us then. Bye-bye.